It's 88.5 KCSN. This is Mr. Shovel, and I'm sitting here with my morning jacket. So I have to take a moment to just kind of wink at my guardian angels just to say that. Hi, my morning jacket, all of you guys here. Thanks so much for taking the time to
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Now, not only am I sitting here with my morning jacket, but we're sitting in the Capitol Studios, Studio A.
Yeah.
That's right, babe.
No legendary cuts in here.
Yeah, I can imagine. And before we started, Bo was over playing the grand piano over there. It just, I can't imagine who's been playing on that piano.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it felt like it had some magic. Yeah. Felt like it had some spirits.
It sounded fantastic. Sure. This room, you know, for the people who know the building, the Capitol Records building here in Hollywood, it's iconic just as a piece of architecture. But the studio here and the recordings and the music that's happened in this room, you know, the list is endless.
Yeah.
And so I always feel in awe when I come walking in here.
Oh, yeah.
And you worked here. You did the basement tapes.
Yeah,
here, right?
We did that. I've got so many great memories in this building, in this room. Yeah, we did the new basement tapes record in here and just had so much fun.
And did Bob ever come popping in on you when you were working on that?
No, he actually was right across the hall mixing, but we never saw him.
That is so strange.
In true Bob Dylan fashion.
That's great. So the new album, of course, we're here to talk about, The Waterfall. It's so fantastic. I've been looking forward to getting it for the longest time. We've had a couple of songs, but the album, haven't heard any of it until, you know, we just received it. And man, oh, man, it exceeded my expectations and the joy that it brings me as a listener,
Thank
as a
you.
Music
wow.
fan.
Sweet. And it's really nice to hear.
So when you were speaking of the rooms, you were making it up north, Stinson Beach, at the house up there. How much did that have to do with, how much did you kind of noodle around with each other when you got up there before you started actually using something? Musically speaking, fellas.
Right. That's right.
I love to noodle, man.
And then when you finally got your guitars out, how much, when did it start to, what is on the record now, when did you start to record that?
We just kind of started recording. I mean, that was the best thing about this record is there was no plan. There was no agenda. There were just tons of songs to go through, and we didn't know what would be what, and we just kind of started going, and we never stopped. We're still there.
That's true.
You kind of are, because there's a whole another record waiting, just sort of waiting somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it done?
No, I'd say, if I had to say percentage-wise, maybe 60-70% done.
Okay. And do you mean there's songs that aren't recorded, or that mixing or sequencing and stuff?
Well, there's like, I'd say maybe 60-70% of the record has been recorded, but then hopefully will be 20-30% or 40% that will pop up
cool.
in the future.
Excellent.
But if we all died in a fiery plane crash
no.
tomorrow, I think the album would be just
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, Tucker. Okay. Tucker could finish it, and
thank good you could fulfill your obligations.
That's right.
Thankfully, nobody's flying tomorrow.
Everybody.
I'm knocking. I can't find any wood except for the wall over there. I'm not going to, because I don't want you to jinx yourself. That,
oh, whatever.
That's not happening.
You have to confront it.
Yeah.
True. I'm not afraid of it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you're getting ready to go on a big tour. This is, you know, the beginning of it after this. You're out there touring the North America, right? And you're taking buses. You're not flying around, right?
We do everything. We fly, bus, you name it.
Okay.
Bike, boat.
Jet ski,
tour boat,
ferries. Yeah, we've only been.
We
on
need
a
to have a tour
jet
boat
once. Yeah. That was pretty epic. That was spoiled awesome. For life.
That's yeah. true. Yeah, we're ruined.
And so the album. I just want to talk about the album. You know, the songs as they came together. We joke around, and I'm glad we're joking around. But I'm really moved by the songs. You know, lyrically, sonically. It's lifting the roof, you know. It's really kind of, it raises me up. That's why, you know, I listen to a lot of music in the job that I have, and I like a lot of music, but rarely do I hear something where I'm like, I just want to put the album on and listen to it and let it take me. And that's what it does from the very opening track.
Wow.
Sweet.
And so congratulations on a really, really great album.
Thank you.
Starting
Thank
off with the song Believe, you know, I don't want to overinterpret what's happening with the songs. I started reading some reviews, and I had to stop because I don't want somebody to tell me what I'm supposed to be hearing.
Good for you. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean that. That's like that's the best news I've heard all day.
I started, you know, there were certain phrases that kept getting repeated, and it became, you know, it kind of boiled down to some sort of, you know, anecdote about a song or something, you know, so I just put that away. But what I get from Believe is, okay, believe there's something else going on over here. This is what I'm taking from it. There's more than what's sitting in front of us. That's what I take from that song, and it lifts me there, you know. So it sets the table for the rest of the record.
That's awesome. That's the goal.
Okay.
yeah.
Time to roll the answer floats on down the farther shore. Over mine. Roll the dice and sail the ship and all the doors will open. Mirrors. I was blind.
It's 88.5 KCSN. It's Mr. Shovel here with my morning jacket. Now, I was listening to Compound Fracture, and I'm wondering, I was listening to the album with headphones on because there's so many things happening, so many different parts, different guitar parts, different keyboard parts, and I thought, that sounds like a baritone saxophone or something in there. Is there anything in there?
Is there a sax on that song? I don't think so. I think it's a guitar.
It's a guitar that sounds like a sax?
Yeah. It's got like an old tone bender fuzz pedal.
Okay, because it brought to mind kind of a Motown vibe to me. That ba-dap, ba-dap, ba-dap. And so...
Maybe it's the bass. The bass had some synth
on it. Oh, yeah,
it
used to, like a sub-octave synth.
When I started listening to it, it brought to mind Get Ready. The Temptations, yeah. Get Ready. And I started listening to them back to back.
Oh, nice.
And to me, they're really, really connected.
Well, you know awesome. How to that's compliment awesome. A group of guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, seriously, and the texture that you get in the recording and the vibe and everything, it has all that. Have you ever been inside the Motown?
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, so unbelievable. I try to encourage everybody I know, like, if you're going through Detroit, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go see it. It made me tear up standing in there. I was like so emotionally moved by it.
Me too. I seriously, and in fact, I have goosebumps right now.
Yeah, even thinking of it, not totally.
Just thinking about it, that room is so full of energy.
Well, my favorite part of that whole museum is as we were walking through, the tour guide stopped us by the control room. There's a window there, and he was like, do you want to see what the Motown sound looks like? And we're like, what do you mean? And he said, look at the floor. Mm-hmm. And they never put in a new floor. And the floor is worn right at the foot of the console from people tapping their feet the entire time. And I mean, that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
There's holes in the floor.
Yeah. It's just beautiful.
So amazing.
How do you get better than that?
Yeah. And the room, you know, we're in this enormous, you know, Capitol room. That room used to be a 2-car garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you stand in that garage, it's like, it's unbelievable.
And you think in there, you know, all the magic that they captured. I don't know how how they got it to sound as good as it did, but
it's it was hot as heck in there when everybody's smoking. And
it was the people playing in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people playing.
And they had to do it too. Like there wasn't any exit function. Like there was no opening that door until everybody played their ass off.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just something about that.
And there was no punching in.
No.
Yeah.
It was if you screwed up, you screwed up for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody gave you crap.
Yeah. and then you bought dinner that night or whatever.
You better
whatever.
Believe it, yeah.
Yeah. We'll be right back. you're all really putting your heart into this record, and I was really impressed when I found out that you launched this foundation, the Waterfall Foundation, which is taking some proceeds. You're really putting your money where your mouth is and taking some proactive measures towards helping causes you believe in. Is that something you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick and I both went on a retreat to New Orleans shortly after Katrina, and with this great organization called Revolutions Per Minute, RPM. Mm. And they're an amazing organization that helps us, like, look at where we're going and say, you know, in Atlanta, this organization could really need some help, or in Milwaukee, this organization could really use some help. And I mean, from tour to tour, things are different depending on what thing, like if we're trying to support the arts or if we're thinking more about the environment or, you know, whatever the thing we might be thinking about at the moment. But the coolest thing I think is having, like, you know, you've got this normal environment that you go to see a concert and you might go to the merch table to buy a t-shirt or whatever. So we try to have information about the cause there, you know, at a table next to the merch booth. And we just like to think about somebody hopefully getting turned on to something great that's going on in their area and supporting it. And after that retreat, just seeing how powerful music can be in turning people on to causes and educating people, it's just something we find to be really important.
Yeah, and so not only are you turning people on to things, but you're also taking proceeds from certain merch and putting it towards these certain causes as well. The ones that I saw on your website were the Climate Justice Alliance, mm-hmm. also Gulf Restoration Network, and mm-hmm. Kentuckians for Commonwealth. I just want to give you a chance to, like, really talk about that stuff. That is important to me, that kind of stuff. You know, I love music, and it's a huge part of my life, too, but it's also important to talk about the things that matter to people.
Yeah, there's what Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. The mountaintop coal removal is a huge problem mm-hmm. in our part of the world, and, I mean, they do everything. They do anything that's great to try to help, you know, in any way. But maybe 6 years ago or so, I made a record with Daniel Martin Moore and Ben Solee that was to help benefit fighting mountaintop coal removal and trying to find a better way. I mean, the fact that we're still even talking about it, you know, the fact
so
that we, the
stupid.
Greed,
right?
The greed is all it boils down to, because all the solutions are there. You know, we could be on solar power, we could be on wind power, whatever. The solutions exist, but the greed is keeping them away. So, it's, you know, I don't even know what else to say about it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with
you. It's maddening.
Well, all I'll say on top of that is, like, we do this because to be a person on this earth, like, we're really lucky that we get to do this for a living. We are feelers and makers and doers, and we need to be doing that for not only for ourselves, but for everybody else as well. And I feel like we all have a social responsibility on this planet to make it better. And when we see something that is wrong, we don't just walk past it. Mm-hmm. We confront it and we try to find a solution for it. And hopefully through our actions here, maybe we're making a little effort, but I mean, it's more just like, it's more important that everybody does this. So, I mean, we're five guys. I mean, We're hoping that everybody kind of jumps on board and does this too.
Right on.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
It's 88.5 KCSN. It's Mr. Shovel here with my morning jacket. Such an honor to be here with you and the whole group here. And I appreciate you taking the time, Carl, Patrick, Bo, Tom, Jim, all of you here on the heels of the release of the new album, The Waterfall. And I'm so moved. You were talking, Patrick, about, you know, our social responsibilities and what I get from some of these songs. I get the reminder our time here is precious. Our time with other people that we meet is precious. Right now, I'm savoring this very moment being here
with you all.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And I'm getting that. I get that from the music, you know, just for the message of the music. But it lifts me up like a cathedral is meant to lift us up. It does that sonically to me.
Thank you.
And when you come to get the point, I find it heartbreaking in that it addresses the issue of people come and go from us in our lives, and they're not always there. And the beauty of being able to say, I wish you every, you know, good luck in the future.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows how tough relationships are. And I feel like, yeah, you never know, at least I don't, exactly why something doesn't work. You know, there's, you know, how can you explain some of the biggest mysteries in life? But yeah, I feel like there's sometimes people get a feeling that it, because something didn't work, that it was a waste of time or something. And I really don't like that, because I think that the time you had existed, you know, it's never not going to exist. And you did have fun and you did have tough times too, but yeah, it's kind of the spirit of just saying that was an era, you know, that was beautiful, and for whatever reason it couldn't work.
We talked and talked and carried on from sundown till the break of dawn. We put the needle on the line, it just kept skipping. And then I realized all the time I was wasting trying to mend a broken situation. Daydreaming of leaving, I only had to do it. And now it's done, you still call every day to no avail. I never have an answer, I never seem to be there for you. There's only so many ways that one can look at a given situation. And I wish you all the love in this world and beyond. I guess you get the point. I guess you get the point. I guess you get the point. The thrill is gone. I hope you get the point. I think the love is done. Well, I was feeling sympathetic, but still sorry for myself. Flying blind, I really wasn't listening. So now I'm trying to tell you plainly how I'm feeling day to day. And I'm so sorry that you ain't feeling the same way. Well, there's only so many ways that one can look at a given situation. And I wish you all the love in this world and beyond. Done.
By the way, is this an interview or therapy? I'm trying to figure that out.
Get it all out, Patrick.
That's right, baby.
By the way, Patrick with a great album from Spanish Gold as well.
Oh, thank you.
Which we played a lot on KCSN.
Really, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Enjoyed that album a lot. Now, you're going on tour. You're going to be going around the United States. First of all, I wanted to get to Jim. How are you feeling with the back and all that? And you feeling all strong and out there ready to face the world?
I don't know. I feel decent. I feel, you know, it's a tough thing having back surgery. It's kind of a constant battle, you know. And I've been doing Pilates twice a week and doing, you know, trying to eat better and just trying to do as much as I can to be as strong as I can. So I hope I'm ready. You know, it's one of those kind of unknowns.
I've been doing Pilates twice a week myself.
Really?
Not for my back, but for my shoulder.
It's great.
It's very helpful.
It's so great, yeah.
When you're out on the road, though, like usually it takes some piece of equipment, some kind of gear.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Well, we do now I do even more, lots of stretching before we play. So I've got like a yoga mat and a foam roller and a Pilates green stretching belt. So I do a ton of that before we play a show, and that really helps. And trying to actually find Pilates studios with the help of my teacher Claire in Louisville, find other ones when we go, you know, when we go to Chicago or whatever town.
Some bands, you know, in the past, bands who had particular habits that they had to feed, you know, substances or something,
right.
They would set that up. They would know where they were going to connect in each city, but you're setting up your Pilates studio.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yo, man, you know where I can go get some yoga.
I need me some, where can I find some good Pilates?
Where's that Pilates at?
I need the best.
Say, man, you got some meditation?
Well, that's
what's a skinny on that yoga.
So when you're, I know you came out to the radio station a while back, a year or so ago, just Jim yourself, and you talked about your meditation, and do you get a chance to do that while you're on the road as well?
Yeah, I try to do it every day. I mean, I do it most every day. I think it's one of the best things anybody can do, you know, and there's various types of meditation. I do transcendental meditation because I really love the mantra as a vehicle for meditating. But there's so many types, and I try to tell people, like, just the act of sitting, you know, even if you just sit in a chair for however long you can, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and just not do anything. Turn off your phone, turn off your computer, turn off the TV, close the door, just sit there. And I think the world would be a much calmer place if everybody did that.
It's hard to shut all that stuff off.
So hard.
We're kind of hardwired now. If we have a free moment, pick what's on
our
phone.
Yeah.
Checking
out.
Yeah. And
so it's addicted.
It's almost like you have to sort of regress back. You have to lock yourself away to give yourself the chance to just sort of be with yourself.
That's kind of how the session was in Stinson Beach. Like, I'm from Indiana, and landlocked, and I got to wake up and look at the ocean for basically 8 weeks. And that started to sink in, and it was like that unplugging thing. And then I go sit out behind the house and, like, look at Mount Tamalpai and watch the birds float and stuff, and I started to feel like an American Indian or something. Like I could see this place, like, as if it was the first time it was seen by a human. Like, you're so far out, you're like on top of Mount Tamalpai, you don't see anything.
Yeah.
And there's this great story I read in a book about the Indians had a fable about there was an evil witch that lived on Mount Tamalpai, but they think the reason that they had the story is so nobody would settle up there. So it would be a place that everybody could share.
Yeah.
And but it felt powerful. It was like powerful and evil and like brutal, and the fog and the ocean and the sharks, and you know, it was great.
I remember the first time Carl told me that story. We were walking on the beach late at night, you know, we were walking under the stars, which we did almost every night after recording, and often we would take a couple hits of the vape pen, don't tell mom. And I remember him telling me that story, and I was like trying to imagine, like, the first settlers or whatever, like, walking onto that beach, and I think we saw, like, a shooting star, like, 2 seconds later. There was a lot of those moments up there where it was just, like, really psychedelic, you know, in those strange ways, you know, when you talk about it, it almost sounds kind of silly, but in the moment, you're like, wow.
Yeah, and
you
know, if you're
feel
there
like there's
for
something
long
bigger
enough,
than you.
If you're there for long enough, you get to experience the, like, the the vigor of the ocean. Like one windy night, it blew a part of the house over.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it was and then, you know, then we saw phosphorescent sand and we saw.
Oh, the phosphorescent sand was unbelievable. It was like, what was it? Billie Jean, where Michael Jackson lights up the square.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Billie Jean. Like every step, your foot lit up.
Wow.
The phosphorescent sand.
But it's entirely possible that where you were right then, at some point, you know, the natives had populated that area. I mean, and the most special parts of our land is where they had lived.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Hey, I want to thank you for your time. We could talk for a long time. Yeah. I know you have a lot going on, getting ready to go on tour. Coming back here to Los Angeles, first of all, Santa Barbara Bowl, October 11th, and then the Shrine, October 13th. These are tickets that were made available to our listeners during our pledge drive, so we thank the band, the label, and the promoter for that support as well.
Boom. Yeah,
we'll
get
to have some of the city. Some of our listeners down there. Thanks again for your time, my morning
Thanks
jacket.
So much.
Oh, yeah.
The fantastic album, The Waterfall. We look forward also to whatever you have coming next, whenever that's finished. My Morning Jacket, it's 88.5 KCSN. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks
much.
So much.
Thank you. Ooh.